listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell.
Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17. When you have time in your private devotion, meditation, I'd like you to read Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17 in its entirety. But today the message is going to come from the 1st through the 16th verses. But I just need you to look at verse 9. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 15, but I do want you to read those because I want to have time to deal with all of those verses. And those will be the two verses from which I pull the principles that I want to share with you today, verses 9 and verse 15. If you have 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose.
All right, thank you. And verse 15.
And she and her house did eat many days.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, our reading of the scripture this morning is somewhat fragmented to get to the point, to save some time in dealing with all of the different and various verses this morning. I'm not desiring to give an exposition on the word this morning. That's not my pleasure or privilege this morning to do so. I just want to put a thought on your mind because God is desiring through his word to look at the past and learn the lessons from the past so that we might profit in the present. That's why Romans 15 and 4 says, wherefore all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. We find ourselves in different situations. Inflation, throes of recession, political uproar, crime on the rise, and I mean, we can go through a litany of different things that we're facing that would take our minds off the blessings of the Lord and place them on the burdens of life. But we must be careful to understand that burdens will come, troubles will come. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. But, listen to what he said, be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Listen, why? Because he has overcome. And if he has overcome, guess what that says about us? If we are in him and he has overcome, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that means we need to get our shouting shoes on. Because no matter how difficult things are, it's not going to end like this. Let me just try and tell you the story right quickly. King Ahab was a good man until he married a bad woman by the name of Jezebel. And he had turned from the ways of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, etc. So God sent the prophet Elijah to go and tell him it was not going to be any rain, any dew for 3 years and 6 months. He delivers the prophecy to the king, and then God leads him away from there, and God hides him at a little place called the Brook of Cherith. And there at the babbling brook with fresh flowing water, God sent ravens, birds that usually take from and who are ravenous, to bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And the Bible says he drank from the brook. But one of the things I've noticed about God, when God blesses you with the blessings, he don't want you to get caught up on the blessings so much that you depend more on the blessings than you do on the blesser. And so the Bible says he caused the brook to dry up. The brook dried up and the delivery service of the ravens were canceled. God speaks to him and tells him, get thee down to Zarephath, where he has commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, I've told you many times visiting this text, I found that very strange that God sends a prophet to a poor woman and tells her to sustain the man of God. Why wouldn't God send him to the rich folk? Why wouldn't God send him to the wealthy? Why wouldn't he send them to a place of comfort where they had the right accommodations? Why would he send him to a woman who has already prepared to die? But God commissioned him and commanded her. Let me say that again. He commissioned him. Go. Why? Because he was in the service of the Lord. God commissioned him to go to Zarephath. Why? Because God had commissioned him to go to the Brook Cherith and stay there until God said differently. What am I saying? First of all, my brothers and sisters, God knows best how to direct the steps of the people of God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so God directed his steps from one place to the next place. And he, having had the understanding of how God operates, knowing that things are not always the way they appear, he went as God ordered. And there, verse 10 says, as he's coming through the gate, here comes the little woman coming across the front. Now, God also, I might throw in, has impeccable timing. God's timing is not your timing. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Here he sends him to Zarephath. He didn't give him an address. He didn't give him a name. He just told him, go. Get thee to Zarephath. And God, when you walk with God long enough, and when you talk with God regularly enough, and when you have fellowship with God, you know he'll fill in the details at the proper time. Sometime we've got to learn how to just trust what he says now. Some of us want all the details before. Now listen, God, I just want to make sure this is you. If it's you, you ain't told me where I'm going. You ain't tell me who what her address is, what her name is. You ain't tell me nothing about the woman. You ain't tell me whether or not, you know. No. All of those are excuses. If God says go and he tells you go, then get up and go. So here he comes through the gate, and here she comes by the gate. And he says, hey. She's a woman. He's the only one he see coming by there. So he speaks. Fetch me a little cup of water in the vessel, if you don't mind. And the woman looked at him, and she went on about her business. He said, well, I got the right one now, because she didn't tell me no. It's a famine. Everything is dried up. Everything is dying. He knows this because he just spoke this not long ago to King Ahab. And all of these lands are experiencing this famine, this great drought, where flock and herd and flowers and all sorts of things that were living aforetime on the earth were now dying. Yeah. And so the water supplies were rationed out, beginning with the poor, the weak, the widows first. So she had a supply, and she went to get part of her supply to give to the man of God. But as she was going, he made another request. Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking for a little. Let me explain a couple things. First of all, verse 9 reveals to us that there was a man that did not have anything, nothing, the prophet. And that was a woman God was sending him that had very little, but act like she didn't have anything or nothing. Why is it sometime that those of the least of us can sometime be more grateful and thankful than those who have the most among us are? It would seem like the more you have, the more thankful and more grateful you should be. For the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. If God blessed you greatly, look like he ought to greatly be praised. Anybody blessed in the house can I get upset in my flesh when I know God done bless you, kept you out of danger, kept you out of harm's way, kept you out of jail, kept you out the hospital, kept you off of skid row, kept the hospital had a helper, and you sit there acting like you're doing God a favor by being in his church and saying, amen. Like he's got to beg you to thank him for waking you up this morning, for opening doors for you, for making ways for you, for showing you his love to you. And you can't even praise him. It just amazes me that God would put the two together. But God knew something about this, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But I'm just trying to help you to understand the story if you hadn't read it yet and don't know it yet. And so she tells him, listen, as the Lord God did it, I have not but a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and I was getting ready to find me two sticks, and I was getting ready to dress it and make it for me and my son, and we were going to eat it and die. Listen, this was going to be our last supper. And you want a little bit of our last supper? Did you notice, and if you look and read it, you're going to see the prophet didn't have no pity on him. Because the prophet said, listen, I hear what you're saying, but make me a little cake first. Now, when I first read that, I thought that was somewhat selfish of him. I really did. Come on, come on. I'm like, now, wait a minute. Now, the woman telling you she ain't got but a little bit for one last meal. She and her son are going to eat it and die. And you asking for some of that? But it was a reason he was asking for that. Because he needed to put the principles of sowing and reaping. He needed to put the principles of giving and receiving into play. If she didn't sow a seed, he couldn't produce for her a harvest. If she didn't release anything out of her hand, she couldn't receive anything back in her hand. So he was trying to get her to participate in her own deliverance. Are y'all hearing me here today? You see, he was trying to get her to activate her faith. It didn't matter how much faith he had. And obviously he had great faith to go there and trust God that a woman who's about to eat her last supper and die was going to sustain him. She didn't say, man, I got a warehouse full of stuff that I stored up before the famine. And listen, I'd be able to take good care. No, she confessed right away. I'm about to eat my last meal. And he says, make me a little cake first. And so the prophet had to tell her that if she obey, that the God of heaven, she knew him, would sustain her throughout the famine. However long that would be, don't know whether or not the famine had already been going on, 6 months had been going on, 1 year, but whatever it is, it was going to be for the rest of that famine, whether it was 2.5 years, 2 years, whatever. God was going to sustain her if she sustained him. Now, I want to go back and ask, what kind of thanksgiving is this? You think about yourself now, because, you know, objectively, we would say Thanksgiving is a time you give God thanks for all of the blessings he's given to you, and you show your appreciation for this and that and so forth and so on. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. I'm thankful. Yes, that's objectively. But subjectively, I really should say it like this, subjectively. What kind of Thanksgiving is this for you? See, because that's where I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to what kind of Thanksgiving is this for you? Are your eyes on the blessing and or the blessers, or are your eyes on the burdens and the lack thereof of things you don't have? Is your eyes on he who gives life, or is your eyes on those who no longer have life? Where is your focus for Thanksgiving? So many people get depressed, and so many people become oppressed because their focus is not on the right person or is not in the right place, and therefore it can't
feel like thanksgiving, and they can't feel thankful and grateful because they're thinking more of what they don't have than what they do have. They're thinking about where they are not versus where they are. They don't realize things could be a whole lot worse than where they are, and they can be in a much worse place than where they are. But you've got to think of the goodness of Jesus and all, not just some, all the good that he has done for you. Now listen, let me give you three things to determine what kind of thanksgiving this is for you. I don't have to know your name. I don't have to know your job. I don't need to know what you make. I don't need to know what you got at home waiting to get back to. I don't need to know any of those specifics. I just need you to answer these questions in your own heart. Question number one is, what type of relationship do you have with God? What type of relationship do you have with God? I need you to help me preach this, because I know we ain't been in service and Thanksgiving a long time, and you don't know how this goes. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what kind of relationship do you have with God? Talk to the other one. I know you don't want to look at him, but look at him anyway. And ask him, what kind of relationship do you have with God? Are you just a creation of God, or are you a child of God? See, the Bible says, John 1 and 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you belong to him as a creation, but to be a child of his enters into a personal relationship with him. Are you just a creation of God, or are you a child of God? You see, in verse 9, where God was telling the prophet to go to this widow woman, the reason the prophet was sending him to her was because she was a child of God. God will do some wonderful things for you if you're his child. Any children that belong to God today? Have you seen God open some doors, make some ways, do some things, show some favor? Come on, talk to me here. When you belong to God, God has the power to do what nobody else can, and he will do it for his children. Folk wonder how you got by, how you got through, how you made it over. You're not supposed to be where you are. You're not supposed to have what you have. You come on, talk to me in the house here. But you're a child of God. And God knows how to make a way for you. God knows how to make stuff happen for you. And so it's because she had relationship. My question to you is, do you have a relationship with God? Secondly, and I'm almost through. Listen, what? Okay, do you have a relationship? But the next thing I really need to know and focus in on is, when God was dealing with the prophet, and he was dealing with the prophet concerning the woman, there were some things God needed to know needed to show that he cared for her and he loved her and that he saw her situation and he heard her cry and he saw her tears and he was there working it out while she was trying to figure it out. What kind of relationship do you have with God? But secondly, I think it's important to understand What kind of revelation do you have of God? What kind of revelation do you have of God? You see, in verse 9, the prophet had a great revelation of God. And he had a revelation of God, so much so that he trusted the word of God. He trusted that this woman that God was sending him to was going to honor what God said. And see, when you learn how to trust God, you're going to learn that God will work the situation out. If you trust him, he'll fix what you can't fix. And he'll turn the hearts and the minds of those you can't turn if you just trust him. And so he calls, listen, this woman to have a revelation of him. And no doubt, listen to God, listen. No doubt if God told the prophet, I have commanded her, then it means he done already talked to her. Whether he showed her in a dream, whether he showed her in a vision, or whether he spoke at that moment and said, this man coming is a man I've sent to you. Do what he tells you to do. However he did it, she had a revelation of God. Now listen again. I got to know. One, she had what? A relationship with God. She was a child of God and not just a creation of God. But two here, she has a revelation of God. She had a relationship, one, but two, she has a revelation of him. And the revelation is important because what that says is she knows him. Now, here is the question. Do you know him or just do you have a knowledge about him? There is a major difference between knowing him and having a knowledge about him. To know him is intimacy. To have knowledge about him is informational. Somebody didn't get that. I'm trying to tell you, you got a whole lot of folk in church who know about him, but who don't know him. Because if you really knew him, you would know that God will handle, will take care of, will fix every situation, every problem, everything that you can't deal with. If you put it in the hands of the Lord and trust God to do what he said he'll do, God will work it out. You can't do it all, but you've got to have sense enough to know if you know him. He's got the power, and he's made the promise, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I will do for you what you cannot do for yourself.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT. Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Hallelujah. Because of his grace, his mercy.